Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
Managerial merry-go-round is in full swing and we have football matches for the next 5 days straight. And also, Messi wins a 6th Ballon d'Or. Welcome to the Football Corner, Manchester's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And I'm Shreyas.
If you guys are new or old, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, manchermedia.com.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media, that's at Muncher Podcasts.
So Shreyas, why don't we dive right into this heavy, heavy podcast by talking about the previous game week.
On the deep side.
So the first game that I want to talk about is, let's just get it out of the way. It's Norwich Arsenal. Freddie Ljungberg's first game.
Freddie out.
There were supporters with Freddie out already.
I mean, Arsenal supporters.
Arsenal fans are just rude, man.
They just take the cake.
Ek game to the other one they go.
He's not even permanent manager.
Some things there. So he's apparently a UEFA, you'd know more. He's a A-level license,
right.
Is that a thing?
That is a thing,
and you
yes.
need to be a UEFA pro license to be a coach.
Correct.
So if that remains the same, then he can only technically manage Arsenal till Feb, after
right.
which he'll have to relinquish.
Right.
But there are some loopholes, like he's applied or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's going to be the decision maker.
Well, it's Arsenal, you never know.
You never know with Arsenal. So they actually managed to draw this game.
They managed to get a draw.
That's what I meant. Yeah. they labored to a draw.
They labored. Exactly.
And, which they didn't deserve according to me. I don't know usually with a new manager or a old manager leaving and stuff like that, it ends up being some sort of rejuvenation.
Right.
That might be the case with Arsenal, but against a team like Norwich, you would have expected those things to combine and a win to come through, which it still didn't.
I don't know. I mean, as a neutral, as a non-Arsenal fan,
I'm not neutral against Arsenal. Let's be clear.
I mean, I miss Emery. I think he's a nice guy. He's a good evening. He's a polite guy.
All right. That doesn't count for shit, sadly.
Yeah. No, man. I remember seeing this article about how Ljungberg said that happy footballers play well. So if that was a happy performance, then I think Arsenal just should start becoming more and more content with the realistic possibility of being a mid-table team now.
Ooh, mid-table. Mid-table means like 10th.
Mid-table means like top 10. So
okay.
If they consistently make the
Europa... mid-table means between 6th and 10 in the EPL's regard.
Exactly. So they're 6th and they can stay there. That's Europa League.
Right.
And I think they should be happy with that, considering how things are going.
Well, they wouldn't be happy with that, considering that they broke the transfer record for Pepe. I think just given this beginning of this season and Emery's record, I mean, even though on the face of it, last season he felt like he was okay. And then, you know, you'd given the benefit of doubt with Wenger leaving and stuff like that.
Right.
He actually didn't do that good a job in his 50-odd games that he played. It was actually worse than Wenger's last 50 games, which was really bad, really, really bad. So I hope Ljungberg can script a turnaround also because it's Arsenal and because their squad on paper squad value is pretty high. A lot of managers will be interested in this position.
I don't know. I mean, we've been hearing whispers of Rodgers being interested, and he very weirdly said also at one of his post-match conferences that it's in his, there's a clause in his contract that says that if there's a big offer, I don't know what big offer means, on the table, he can take it.
Yeah, and he didn't say that like anytime else. He didn't say that after Spurs, for example. He didn't do any of that. It is weird because conversely, at the same time, Pochettino, who's on a 10-day break to Argentina, the motherland, basically, said that he wants to return to coaching immediately.
Yes.
He's still a young guy, doesn't need time to recover, all of that.
Right.
And he wants to return to coaching in Europe ASAP. And given the current state of clubs right now, there are multiple options for him to go for, which usually is not the case.
Right.
Big managers have to wait a little time for something to open up, someone to get fired or whatever.
Right.
But given the state right now, United, Arsenal, Bayern maybe... they're all like decent options for him. Bayern maybe the least because they are usually like the stable kinds who don't rush into decisions.
Right.
But United and Arsenal are literally open for a Pochettino arrival, which would be kind of crazy, honestly.
Right. I think Pochettino would want to stay in the Premier League. I think he's been here for a really, really long time. Southampton and then Spurs. Maybe he might go to the Spanish League. He was Espanyol manager. But I don't know.
He also lives out of Barcelona. Yeah, like his family's
correct,
based there.
Correct.
Which is weird. Why Barcelona?
Because
he's also super friendly with the president.
No, but he'll never go to Barcelona because Espanyol and Barcelona is a home derby, which is why I think his family is there.
Dude, Barcelona opens up, they're like, Pochettino, aja, you think he'll be like, no. Are you mad? No one gives up managing Messi, like, especially Pochettino, Argentinian Messi. Like, if it opens up, if the ball's in his court where Barcelona's like, listen, it's a yes or no from your side, everything's ready to go from our end,
right,
he's definitely saying yes.
I don't know, it just seems like...
It's just like a statement to Espanyol fans, that's all that's needed.
Yeah,
like, sorry guys, you're gonna suck.
But I don't know, obviously it's one thing to be able to manage the all-time... Ballon d'Or, number of Ballon d'Or winner, Messi. But at the same time, like, I'm not saying there's less to do at a bigger established club. It's just that considering the stories he's had at Southampton, at Tottenham, doing what he's done, it just seems like a club like Barcelona or a situation like Barcelona is not his bread and breakfast. It's not his scene, basically.
But then think about this, like the amount of effort, like Southampton, fine, that was like his up and coming thing, and then Tottenham was his top flight, listen,
right,
I'm here,
right?
The guy would want trophies, guaranteed trophies or close to a guarantee of trophies in his next endeavor, which United and Arsenal kind of don't guarantee him, right?
That's true.
It's another like Spurs like fight for the top, compete with Liverpool and City, Champions League shambles. It's a good prestige position, but from a coaching perspective, in terms of what's my legacy going to be, if his legacy is going to be the next 15 years are going to be clubs like this where he puts in like amazing coaching performances but doesn't get trophies, I don't think any coach would want that, right?
That's true, but...
And realistically, United and Arsenal, assuming that everything stabilizes within the club and they actually become better over time and stuff, they're still miles away from City and Liverpool.
They are, but I don't know, just somehow I think that appeal of the Premier League and most managers who... you know, have had a taste of the Premier League, prefer staying as long as they can. So it'll be interesting to see what his next move is, considering how eager he is to join, like literally like 10 days, less than like 10, 12 days.
Yeah, he's right. He's good to go. He's gunning for it. So Ole is probably sweating. So they ended up playing Villa over the weekend. Not a good game.
That's a good question.
I mean, even for United, man, it was okay.
Yeah.
But Ole himself said that, listen, the next two games are make or break for me. He knows that he's playing Tottenham
Spurs,
now. A resurgent Tottenham.
Yeah.
Jose's return to United.
Right.
You know, we don't even need to lay a wager for this game. Like, Spurs is most likely coming out on top.
I mean...
I don't see Ole pulling out a managerial hoodoo trick out of the hat and like figuring out... Like, it's not going to happen, man.
That's true. I mean, it might be a scrappy game. It might be a sketchy game. But in terms of dominance, squad-wise, momentum-wise, manager-wise, everything, Spurs has it going. So...
All right, so let's keep the tradition alive. I think in the past 3 weeks, we've predicted two managerial firings, which have happened the week after our episode drops.
I mean, Watford doesn't count, does it?
Watford kind of counts, man. We'll talk about this, but the big one from last week was Emery, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Are we laying something here? Do you think Ole's gone after the Spurs game?
I think it'll be in the manner in which they lose already. Okay, the manner in which they play, sorry. if Jose whitewashes United, shows United what they supposedly missed out on, then I think it's Solskjaer's time to go.
All right, look, we're in a unique position where our next episode's going to come out technically after two game weeks.
Yes.
So after the next 5 days of football, we're going to have an episode on Monday.
Right.
So that means United would have played twice till we record next.
Right.
If he loses both games, he's 100% out. He's probably just packing his own bags and leaving. He's like, yaar, dekh lo, main ja raha hun. But if he loses against Spurs, which we're pretty sure he's going to, but manages 1 point or 3 points against the next team,
which is City away.
which is City away. All right, so Ole's out, guys. Pochettino, next Manchester United manager. We announced it here first. There's no hope for him, dude. There's absolutely no hope for Ole.
Yeah, there isn't.
If he gets even 1 point from the next two game weeks, he's still out.
I mean, what I've seen is, in terms of all the football that I've watched, obviously results start to come down when, you know, something's off, something's a mismatch, people are not feeling good. Obviously, it shows in the performances and the results and it goes down. Usually, some managers can pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Well, you know, some experienced managers, sure.
Yeah. So
this is Ole's first experience.
Technically, yes. I mean, he was with Cardiff.
Let's not count Cardiff or...
Or Norway.
Molde. Molde, yeah. Let's not count those.
But...
Because Molde was like 3/4 of a season, I think. Cardiff, right, like immediately got relegated.
Yeah, I just think that just in the manner in which United are playing, the way that squad set up, the way that team set up, like if I was like an Aston Villa, a Norwich, a Sheffield, a Newcastle, I'd be like, yeah, let's play United right now. Let's beat the shit out of them and, like, you know, keep our momentum going and make it worse for them. So if they are to lose but show some level of performance, effort, intensity, which has to come as a unit, it can't be individual players. To do that against Spurs and then City away is maybe asking a bit too much of everything going. And that's exactly how it's been for United with the Ed Woodward situation, with Solskjaer, inexperience. They should have got Pochettino probably 6 months ago. They didn't. So
now they can very easily get him, right?
Yeah, so it's so weird. Like, you don't get second chances in football. So
you know what's surprising is that beginning of the season, I know we spoke a lot about whether they'll give him the requisite amount of time and all of that.
Right, right.
But we didn't predict that their performances would be this bad.
Correct.
Right. So given how bad their performances have been and the amount of time United's actually given him, I'm surprised that he's still at the helm right now. Like, I thought he would have been let go like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, because there's been no improvement. It's like been stagnant, but at a very low level.
I mean, getting nitpicky, but at least players like Martial have stepped up. Martial was nowhere a few years ago. Rashford is sort of maturing here and there. Luke Shaw is back. But at the same time, that midfield is spineless. Pogba is missing. They spent about 120, 150 million on their defense. They have supposedly the world's best goalkeeper. See the kind of goals they concede. So seeing all of that, I don't entirely blame Solskjaer. I think maybe hypothetical situation, parallel universe, let's give him some more time. I still think him being OG United, he can bring that sort of United way of playing back, which we saw a slight teaser of. At the same time, I think he's not the guy to do it long term. United, just the stature of club they are and the kind of targets they have supposedly. Solskjaer is your caretaker manager. That's it.
But you know what's messed it up, right? Pochettino's firing's messed it all up. If Pochettino was still at Spurs, he would have had a chance to survive. But as soon as these two bad matches happen, which we're, precursoring right now, but they're going to be bad matches.
Right.
And United knows that Pochettino's right there for the taking before any other club snaps him up. They know that this is going to be the right time to replace him. Otherwise, they might miss out on Pochettino.
Correct. That actually makes sense, because it was funny how soon Jose was appointed after Pochettino's firing.
Yeah,
so obviously there was a lot of stuff going behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The second Jose was confirmed, they're like, fine, let's get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because the more time the manager has in the middle of the season, the better it is.
Not only
for this season, but to prepare for next season.
And
as
also
well.
They had like 2 days before the game.
Right.
And before that, we'd heard rumors about Jose going to Arsenal, meeting the Arsenal hierarchy and stuff like that.
Correct.
So Jose got appointed.
So he was definitely in London. He just went to the wrong club. Bad directions. Yeah, he's like, why don't I have lunch here? Wait for my meeting with Spurs.
I was pretty surprised with that, but seems to be doing wonders to Tottenham's confidence now. They've been scoring like crazy, but
Dele Alli
has Harry Kane scored as well. But what's been worrisome in these two games that Jose has done is the last 10 or 15 minutes where the other team just crawls back with a goal or two goals.
Right. It's so funny. I mean, even though he's been talking to the media, he's like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry for being an arrogant dick. I'll try to take it easy.
Give it like a month.
I think he's very much aware of the kind of changes he can or can't make.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, I think on paper, that squad's not bad at all. It should definitely be a little more competitive than they have been. And we've seen that at least in terms of scoring goals. Defense-wise, yeah, we know they lost Trippier. Rose is not the best. They're having problems with their centre-backs. So, not entirely surprising that they're conceding goals like this. But at the same time, Jose is known for his team setting up shop, or rather shutting shop. So, I think over time, towards the end of the season, we will see a more careful defensively Spurs setup.
I see that. And also, I think what Poch was kind of struggling with, or would have to like work the hardest on, was his philosophy of football combined with the assets he had on the team.
Yeah.
I think the assets suit Jose a little bit more because he doesn't like that playing from the center, way his fullbacks, whatever roles the fullbacks had in Pochettino's team, don't have that role in Jose's team.
Correct,
so he doesn't mind that he has Ben Davies and Aurier and all these guys, right? As much as Pochettino did clearly in the first half of the season. I'm pretty excited about the United game. Jose is going back with a vengeance.
Everyone's excited about the United game except United fans.
That's true. United fans are actually, you know, if I would be a pragmatic United fan, I would just want them to lose these next two games so that Poch comes in.
Okay, how about we win the games, but it's still Poch comes in irrespective.
That's not going to happen. If Ole beats Spurs and Ole beats City, Ole is the best manager in the world. All of a sudden, media hype, player hype, confidence level.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He was only the best manager and all of that jazz for those 5 days. Because what he's... like, he has nothing to show. He's been in charge almost a year now.
Right.
Mourinho got fired in December.
Right.
Except for those first few games, which just went left, right, and center. Oh my God, 10-game unbeaten, all of that jazz.
Yeah.
He doesn't... he seems like he's bitten off more than he can chew. So obviously no one would say no to the United job, especially someone like Ole, but I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what's the deal with Woodward, and obviously we can complain about it and talk about it from the outside, but if you want to run the club as a commercial entity, then yeah, Woodward's your guy, and they're doing well enough, they're getting their sponsorships. If you see the way they play, me being a Chelsea fan, me being an EPL fan first, to see United play that way is embarrassing.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I don't care how well they win these two games. Two games will not save him, I'm sorry. I think it's already like... for him to say himself that my job depends on the next two games means there has been some rumbling, some meeting, being like, bro, you better buck it up. That's almost like a warning, like,
that's true.
Start to pack up. I'm sorry. Like, we gave you your chance.
And also, if you're Ed Woodward, given the history of his sort of...
non-footballing bits.
Non-footballing and importance on, like, the finances and stuff like that. If I am willing to spend money in January on the squad, I want to spend money on Pochettino's squad rather than Ole's squad.
Exactly.
Right. Like, that's the better business decision.
Right. Because, yeah, because according to Woodward, they spend 100 plus million on defense and they're still leaking in goals.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I personally think this is Ole's last week in charge. I actually agree with you regardless of the game results. Because Pochettino just sitting there waiting for a club to be snapped up. And there are clubs out there who are willing to snap him up ASAP, yes, Arsenal included, right? Yeah, so they have to like act quickly.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes there are talks already begun with Pochettino. Yeah. It's like, Argentina se tu Manchester aja. Speaking of Manchester, City drops points again.
Boy, what a match.
But it's Newcastle, man. It's not supposed to be what a match, right? It's supposed to be like a convincing City win.
Yeah, but that's the thing. To see Guardiola struggle, to see his defense struggle the way they have been, it's just so much of fun.
Dude, I think if City like finishes the way they're playing, like second place, a little behind Liverpool, I think Guardiola's going to leave.
It's a very similar situation like Pochettino, what he did with Spurs. Like, he blew everyone's mind, expectations, objectives, whatever you want to call it, to reach the freaking Champions League. No, but that's the thing. I think, and maybe Pochettino should have left himself, but he was happy to collect his paycheck and, you know, wait for this to happen, I guess. But at the same time, I think Guardiola is in a very similar position. Like, he stamped his way of football, his authority, his mesmerizing sort of influence that he has on players like Sterling's and the Agüero's, young and old, Foden, Fernandinho, company, etc., etc. But it's almost like they're stagnated now. Like, they've reached that saturation point. And how much better do you want them to be as a unit, as a club, they are nowhere in Europe. They make it to the knockouts and then they're gone the next day.
Right.
Despite that, I mean, they've rescued EPL wins, so to say, second half of the season's last 2 years. But Guardiola's not there for that. Pellegrini won it before him. Mancini won it before him. They're not there to win domestic titles.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if he's done. And his 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, whatever his cycle is.
It's 4 usually. Right. It was, I think, 3 at Bayern.
Right.
I don't even think him winning the Champions League changes it. Because then he'll be like, listen, I've done it. I've done it all. I've done whatever you wanted of me. I'm out.
Right,
I need new project, new this new manager mindset, yeah. Dude. So, again, so they drop points. 1-1, De Bruyne scores a screamer of a goal.
That's volley.
Unbelievable goal, right? And then you're like, oh my God, City's back, 2-1. They managed to rescue it. And then Jonjo Shelvey.
Nice needle.
His once in 3 years epic goal before he slides back into mediocrity.
Ouch.
Rescues a point for City.
Right.
For Newcastle.
Yeah.
Steve Bruce's team has kind of starting to put it together. You
yeah.
can see that.
I mean, I definitely thought they'll be one of the prime contenders to get relegated, but
which seemed like it early season.
Exactly, but both Newcastle and Steve Bruce. I mean, Steve Bruce is. I've lost count of how many teams he's managed. I think he was at Birmingham. Maybe Portsmouth? Oh no, that was Harry Redknapp. But yeah, we've seen him quite a bit in the Premier League. For him to do this with an entire squad of supposedly unknown, like we know Jonjo Shelvey from Swansea. I don't know the rest of them. Like I'm seeing a lot of them for the first time. And mm-hmm. they're doing pretty well.
They're doing good, yeah. I think they're coming together. It's good. It seems like if they continue the way they're playing, they won't finish bottom of the table.
Correct.
Which is good to see with any lower mid-table
yes.
team, right?
Yes.
That the game starts coming together. And that's what essentially makes EPL exciting, is that no matter
yep.
what team you're going to play,
yes.
you can lose.
Yep.
It's not a
given,
right?
Right.
Like the Italian League, which I don't want to talk about right now, because Juve went to a team where they thought it was a given and they ended up drawing.
Ouch.
And now Inter...
Was Sarri not smoking enough cigarettes?
I don't know, man. Inter's top of the table. I'm really bothered about this right now.
Yeah.
There's some issues with Ronaldo that's happening.
Yeah. Probably he knew that he wasn't willing Ballon d'Or, so...
I think that... I don't know, man. Like, he's... And this is something that we've never seen with Ronaldo. He's sluggish on the field.
Really?
He's sluggish. I think that knee thing is really hurting him. It's bothering him.
Okay.
He's not as decisive. He shows sparks
yeah.
as opposed to earlier. It was constantly
right,
that.
Right.
Now he's showing sparks, which is tough to see because I don't know if it's like a mental issue, something behind the scenes that's happening, or it's that niggling knee thing that's bothering him a lot. Thank God for Dybala. He's been saving our ass for like
yeah.
2-3 weeks straight now.
Right.
Didn't start this game. Came on in the 50th minute. Completely changed it.
Wow.
Got the penalty because of him.
Right.
Couple of free kicks. Just yeah. like the game changed, man, completely.
Nice.
So Inter's 1 point top of the table. They're looking scary, dude. Lautaro Martinez is scary.
That assist from Lukaku for that volley in the Champions League
right.
was just...
Right.
That was out of a PlayStation.
Yeah, man.
That was insane.
And like, he's whatever comes his way, he's finishing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's like, he's like 22, 24 or whatever.
Right.
He's going to Barcelona. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, he even looks like Suarez, so...
He's playing really well. I'm
yeah.
scared, dude. Inter's 1 point ahead, which is not a good sign. And everyone in Juve's camps like, give us till Jan. We need
right.
to come together.
Right.
Still figuring out what the ideal combo of attack is. Ramsey needs to slot in. Buffon made a blunder.
Nah, it's too late now. You guys should have settled it weeks ago.
I don't know, man. It's just 1 point, so I'm not worried about that. Champions League, we're a little comfortable right now,
yeah.
so not
and
worried
Inter
about that.
Inter isn't, so...
Inter is not, yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the drawback of that is if Inter does get knocked out, their entire focus will be Serie A, which is not a good look for us.
I mean...
And
know.
Conte is a league manager, dude.
Yeah,
he's not
yeah,
a cup
yeah.
manager.
That's
so,
true. That's
so
true.
I'm a little scared of that.
And I've been seeing a lot of articles that Inter wants to spend money also in Jan.
Inter wants to spend money.
And they're talking about like Arturo Vidal.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's, you know, these, it's like when you look at a team like Inter or a team that Conte manages, regardless of league, and a team that Guardiola manages. Guardiola will be looking for this position needs this type of player.
Correct.
Regardless of who he is, how much he costs.
Correct.
Conte is like, I know that guy. I'll fit him into the
yeah,
team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beppe Murata was Juve director Conte was Juve manager when Vidal was there, and they killed it for 3 years. Yes. He's like, he's my friend. I know him. Yeah, I know the personality. Personality trumps skill.
Yeah, for Conte, I mean, if you go on his bad side, we know what happened to Diego Costa. So yeah, Conte, that's
kind of weird, because he's like, listen, I know that guy. I know how he plays. I know what makes him tick. I'll fit him into my team.
Correct.
As opposed to, listen, I need a type of player. Yeah, it's such a weird dynamic, but it works. Yeah, it works, right? Yeah. So I'm just scared that he gets those personalities he needs and just strengthens even more in January.
Interesting.
Sorry, I digress, man. I don't know how Juve came up. It's just been bothering me this entire weekend. Coming back to the
Premier League,
let's make you feel bad. Chelsea and West Ham. Everything falls apart without Tammy, clearly.
Cue cricket noises. I mean,
it just looked toothless, dude.
Yeah, I think on paper it does look like Tammy was the main sort of reason behind that performance. But no, I think even with him on in the exact same match, that kind of intensity, it was missing. Maybe except for Kovacic, who is continuing to do his thing. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, I don't know if they're tired. I don't know if it's getting to them. I don't know if they took it easy. But it's so weird. Like, this entire season, we haven't had that level of domination that you expect from a Chelsea or from a top six team at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was not a good match to see. It was, like you said, toothless. It was just wasn't
I think
there.
Also, the difference... So, he started Giroud this game, and Giroud hasn't played at all.
Yeah.
Barely, right? Yeah. And Batshuayi's got more minutes.
Right.
So, one would assume that Batshuayi would have started. But he ended up starting Giroud, and they're just completely different strikers, right?
Right.
If I just like subconsciously try to map out, Giroud's back is to goal while Tammy's front is to goal.
Correct.
Like, that's the easiest way you can put it. Like, he's like forward motion, like figure it out, bringing the attack forward along with him.
Right.
But Giroud's just like standing in the box trying to figure something out. So just the play sort of slows down or fizzles out.
Right.
And I think Chelsea weren't ready for that sort of setup.
Yeah, it's great that Tammy's been scoring the goals that he has, but I think it's almost sort of let us forget that hopefully if the January ban is overturned, we need a striker ASAP. Because if things don't work with Tammy, and Tammy's not established yet, he'll still take time to be consistent. He'll still take his time to be what Lukaku was at Everton or what Drogba was at Chelsea. We need another striker.
Mm-hmm.
We need another striker probably for Tammy and this other striker to, like, sometimes he's first team, sometimes someone else is first team, because you can't have, with Batshuayi and Giroud being second and third choice, I'm sorry, they don't cut it. I mean, thank you to Giroud. He did his thing. He had more fun. We showed him London can be fun in blue.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I think Giroud and Pedro to leave for sure in Jan if the ban's overturned.
Well, Juve wants Pedro and Willian both.
Yeah, le lo dono, please.
I mean, I'll happily take Willian. Pedro kya karega yaar? Backup chal theek hai. I don't mind him. He'll be good in the Italian league. Willian will be crazy.
Yes.
Willian will be crazy in that UA setup. Imagine like Cuadrado and Willian, the throw right side. It'll be kind of crazy.
It'll be like, yeah, Kante has twins, and now Cuadrado and Willian also are brothers from another mother.
That'll be interesting. So before the last game, I actually just want to quickly talk about Leicester Everton.
Marco Silva.
Leicester did Leicester things. Yeah. They did their stuff.
Right.
Crazy consistency right now.
Yes.
Good run of fixtures, so they can actually start consolidating that second position more till they encounter tougher teams.
Yeah.
Silva is, I mean, it was Leicester, so we couldn't have expected to win there. But Silva seems like he's on his last straw. What's surprising is Kike got let go before Silva, which we thought would not happen.
Yeah.
Very surprising move by Watford.
Correct.
Given how aggressive they were with the Javi Garcia firing, 4 weeks into the season,
4 game weeks, yes.
Now they've let go of Kike, who was managing them for the second time.
Yeah, like, what were they expecting in this period? Like, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think just a little better than what they are doing right now.
I mean, getting a win almost, draw at Arsenal for your first game, that's better.
I don't know, man. Like, after a few weeks, like, it's just 3-1 or 0 points, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And Watford hasn't shown any sort of uptick after firing Garcia.
Right.
So, firstly, like, stupid move.
Yes.
I think four game weeks was too aggressive. It was way too aggressive, man.
Or maybe they should have taken their time and gotten someone else. I don't know. I really wanted to know.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, they rehired Kike pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like it was on the table all along.
Right.
And It was like a weird rehire because it's not like the first time around he showed you magic.
Exactly. And Gracia was the one who did some bit of magic with that Watford team. So
I don't know, man. So yeah. Silva seems like he's going to have a very nervous few game weeks now. So right. remains to be seen what the news is like on Monday in terms of his managerial position. If he doesn't get two decent results, it seems like he might be out as well. It's just about whether Everton can find the right fit for manager.
Right.
There's always this ready sort of what you might call it, ready bucket of mid-table English managers that are always just waiting to get rehired.
Tony Pulis, Mark Hughes.
They're always there, just ready. So we know they'll have options, but given how the team is going, it can't continue.
Yeah, I mean, except for Richarlison, who's the bright spark, and he was a bright spark at Watford with Marco Silva, and he followed him to Everton.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, yeah, they have some good players, but they haven't turned up whatsoever. Like Sigurdsson, I think he was bought for almost 50 million.
Right.
He's Sigurdsson who?
Yeah.
So,
and Everton's a team you usually assume to be like 10th, 11th. Or maybe even higher than that.
Yeah, at least like a 6th, 7th, 8th.
So basically what the Wolves and all of that are doing right now is what you would expect Everton to be doing. Yeah. Which they did, like the Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman heydays and stuff. They were killing it, right?
Yeah,
so it's tough to see them right now. It's tough to see Marco Silva. I actually like him as a manager. Or same. I did.
Watford days,
he kind of killed it. So it's tough to see what he's going through. Yeah. But if two of the games in the next 5 days don't go well for him, it seems like it's tough that he'll retain his position.
Yeah, that's Liverpool at home and Chelsea. Liverpool away, Chelsea home.
Okay. Speaking of Liverpool, man, Liverpool played Brighton. And
it was the Van Dijk performance audition for his Ballon d'Or.
Messed up my fantasy week. This game completely messed up my fantasy week.
So you think it takes one game week to mess up your fantasy?
I said week, all right? No need to rub it in. I had Mane as my captain.
Why?
I had a decent team set up, all right? I have Vardy. I had Jimenez.
Yes.
I had Sterling, De Bruyne, Mane.
Right.
Decent defense. I had Kelly from Crystal Palace.
Who got you a clean sheet?
He got me a clean sheet. So overall, my game week was fine. It's just my captain got me 4 points.
Right. So I think this whole season has been about who's your captain.
Yeah.
So don't complain.
Who's your captain next week or tomorrow?
I've yet to look at that. I was caught unaware. I didn't know that midweek started today.
You're welcome. It's midnight. You have like 8 hours to go.
Sure. I'm sure I'll...
All right. So no idea about who captain is?
No idea.
I think I'm just going to go with Vardy, man. Just be the sheep that I should be. Rather, I just keep thinking that if I do these like outlier calls, I'll get an advantage. But they just like always pull me down.
Too out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think one thing I need to look at is to get some Spurs players in. That's for sure. And secondly,
Spurs attackers more likely.
Yeah, right? Son, Ali, guys like those. But my master stroke turned out to be a death stroke.
Which was?
Hashtag goodbye to me. Catch us on YouTube. which was Angelino.
You've had him for a couple of weeks now.
It's the second week, yeah.
You can't have a City defender, man.
But like, I'm just... Like, Mendy's still standing how he gets injured while walking. So he's played 2 weeks in a row now.
Even if you would have had Mendy or Angelino would have played, it's not like you would have gotten clean sheet points.
Yeah, but he's still a City player and he's still at least, I mean, he's in my subs. He's not first team.
Right.
So in case, you know, things have to shuffle around or he has to come in as a sub, at least I'm guaranteed, you know, some level of performance. And he plays pretty well. Like he's been...
he's good.
That one game he played, even the match against Liverpool, he played well.
Well, the only thing I'm super annoyed about is Vibhor, who's leading our league.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, he's just like a vibe player, isn't he? I need to have a chat with him, man. I've never met him, never spoken to him. I would love to just pick his brain because our man picked Dele Alli.
Not just picked, but...
And made him captain.
And I thought that was a mistake because he was traveling. And he's like, no, bro, I could censor it.
Vibe calls, man. Vibe calls. Complete vibe calls. Paid off like crazy. Sitting on the top of the table and got like a mammoth game week.
I think he's top 1,000 India right now. I'm 39 points behind him. and some 39,000 ranks.
No, because like every point like just
exactly
like differs it, right?
Right.
Oh my God. Okay, so we have a mini celebrity in our league. But that's what gets you like in
exactly.
the top
right.
top 1%. It's like right. balls like that. Dele Alli yeah. captaining him yeah. comes and kills it.
Right.
I'd be very surprised if he does it this game week against United.
Let's see what he does, because in fact we were supposed to have him on today, but he got caught up in some work. But he will make it for next week, so
oh,
we
that'll
will,
be cool.
We'll get to pick his brains then.
Interesting. I'll also just save him on my speed dial. So that kind of wraps up this game week. A very interesting week to follow, not just in terms of like footballing games, but also the managerial repercussions and
yes.
Repercussions on the table as well. Just before we wrap up, a few quick things. We spoke about Messi winning the Ballon d'Or. Woohoo, congratulations.
No.
You think it was a Van Dijk win?
Yes.
Dude, any award which is like so highly dominated by journalistic votes,
right.
let's not even talk about it. It's like the IMDb top 250 equivalent of movies, right? It's like, oh, you're number one, sure, but like the players think you're number two.
Yeah.
I would actually want to do a quick recount, and I'll do some research. We'll talk about it next episode. I want to do a quick recount of the player votes.
Okay.
Because a national team, like a team manager and a team captain,
correct.
I think get
correct.
Votes, right?
Correct.
So I want to just see and count those votes. I think all players just should get a vote. Like all players of all
ideally,
top leagues.
They should, yes.
That's what, how do you judge who the best player is if a player doesn't tell you who the best player is?
Yeah, I mean, we have so
or
many.
Or at least give that the majority of the weight.
Right, right. I think there are so many different types of competitions. So the Ballon d'Or started as, if it's not current, still run like that. It's a competition by a French magazine,
yeah.
Which is why I think it's so journalistically centric.
I mean, now more so than ever, because it's now dissociated with the FIFA Men's Player of the Year award.
Exactly.
It was clubbed with it.
Right.
And now it's dissociated, so it's now purely that magazine.
Correct.
Right. So it's even more journalistic, I would assume.
Right. So yeah, so I think over time it just got popular, and which is why we only know about this. There are so many more that take into consideration players' votes or only players' vote. But at the same time, I think a lot of these players, to them, individual trophies don't mean much if they're not winning on the
That's
field.
That's bullshit, dude. Messi was super happy.
Because he's also killed
Ronaldo
it.
Didn't show up out of spite. That's how much it matters.
Right.
So
right.
either he doesn't show up because he doesn't care about the Ballon d'Or, so he doesn't show up at all.
Correct.
But he doesn't show up this year because he knows Messi's. It was pretty clear Messi was going to win it.
Right.
So it does matter to these guys, man. And I think, you know, to that point, I think a more important award, for example, would be a PFA award, for example.
Yes.
Because that's player nominated.
Yes.
That's like the player telling you, listen, that guy's he's the bee's knees, man.
Right,
like he deserves an award.
Right.
So still, he gets an award. Great. Woohoo. Van Dijk didn't get it. Boohoo. Whatever. Let's move on. Last thing to cover, Euro draw came out.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, Italy's in a safe group. They were a little afraid that because of their record, like
right.
they'll just get matched with some crazy teams.
Yeah.
Typical Italian sort of covering our ass, Mancini said, it's still a tough group, guys. Don't. I was like, bro, if you're calling this a tough group, then the Euro kuch nahi ho raha. But I like it. It's like underconfident, overachievement and all.
Right.
Italy had a crazy run, man. I think like 10-11 games straight win. And that's an Italian record.
Correct.
Group of death, though.
Portugal, France, Germany, and a team yet to be decided.
Oh, my God.
I think those teams for that playoff position, they should just not turn up. Who would want to play in a group of Portugal, Germany, and France?
Well, Germany is not the same Germany.
Yeah, that's
they
what
literally
I'm saying.
Play, like, if you look at that team sheet now, like 50% would be players you'd never heard of.
Exactly.
Because they're just kids from the German league.
Yes.
So he's doing like his old, like, I'm
sort of,
figuring it out for
yeah,
2026
yeah, yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
it is. So Germany is not the same Germany. Cruz
he's
said
the only
that
senior.
And he said after their last game, which I think they won pretty comfortably, was like, listen, we're not winning this Euro, basically. Like this is out. So but still it's a threat. It's Germany.
I still think they'll pip Portugal to second place.
Really?
Assuming that France is winning the group.
Ronaldo scoring 3 hat tricks, man, next Euro.
I don't know, just like you said, even
he's had struggles for Juve, but not for Portugal.
Yeah.
Same
I mean,
time.
So, okay, so Euro 2016 was Portugal all the way. I don't know how. France was leading that.
That Edo goal was just like weird.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Normally.
Right. And then even at the World Cup, it was the Ronaldo show, not the Portugal show. Although,
yeah.
yes, okay, they have Bruno Fernandes, they have Yao Felix who's killing it.
Yeah.
But I still think just the state that Germany are in, obviously they're embarrassed from the 7-2 against Brazil and then not qualifying and then not getting out of the group stage, all of that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it's just Germany have been consistent on the world stage for God knows how many years. And these youngsters, some of them are at Munich.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kai Havertz from Bayer Leverkusen. We have a lot of other players.
Yeah.
I hope Marco Reus is fit.
Oh, man. Let's not go there. Dude.
Yeah, so...
Marco Reus hopes that Marco Reus is fit.
So, I don't know. My gut says that Germany is going to pip Portugal for that last spot to qualify for knockouts.
Interesting, man. So, France is a shoe-in.
France, come on, man. I mean...
France has a second squad that can probably come second in Euros.
Yeah.
It's like the City B team. Do you remember that Jose Mourinho comment?
Yes.
It's like there are only four contenders, City, Liverpool,
and City,
Chelsea,
City
and
B
City's
team.
B team or something. That's the same case with France. Because you see so many good French players who never played for the French team and probably never will, given how young and talented their squad is.
Correct. We have so many players who've relinquished their chance to play for France because they have dual citizenship.
And they know they won't get in.
Yeah. Riyad Mahrez. We have so many other players, North African players.
Riyad Mahrez would get into the French squad, though.
He would, but he just chose to be a star for the Algeria squad. And he won Africa Cup of Nations earlier this year.
Right.
But... I don't know. I mean, we have players like Corian Tolisso, Kingsley Coman. A lot of people haven't even heard of them. They're killing it at club level. They don't get a chance at national level.
Yeah.
So, that France team is scary.
It is scary, man. It's going to be a fun Euro. It's going to be interesting to see how this multi-country format works out.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of travel. Italy play all their group games in Italy.
Yeah.
Which is weird as shit.
Yeah, so that had a little something to do with the draw as well. So this is the first time they're having multiple countries host this UEFA Euro tournament. That messed up the draws because I think both Italy and England are playing in their group opponents that they already played in qualifying.
Okay.
Like I think Italy, Croatia, England, Czech Republic, they've already played them in qualifying.
Right.
So that's technically not supposed to happen. But yeah, it's a little messy.
Really messy. Even for Wales, for example, they're in Italy's group.
Yeah.
All of their group games are either in Azerbaijan, Baku, or in Italy. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, like, ek to home game nahi hona chahiye. Is
exactly.
Baku like Wales' home? What's happening here? Like, why is there a game in Baku? I only know Baku because they have an F1 circuit. That's pretty much it.
Also, Europa League final last year.
Europa League final last year. So I was like, Ryan Giggs' statement that, we're going to be traveling between Baku and Rome, which is fine for us because our fans are used to it. I was like, wait, what's happening? Did I miss something here? Is like Wales and Azerbaijan a thing now? I don't even know. But it's kind of weird. It'll be interesting to see because... even though Euro's pretty small and condensed and put together, it's still a lot of travel time, right? Yeah. If I'm in Italy only, then I'm just taking a bus to all these stadiums as opposed to I'm taking flights to other countries.
Right.
So it'll be a pretty interesting format. I'm pretty stoked for Euro because it's after a long time, France is the clear favorite.
Belgium's
been the favorite for like the last three international tournaments now. I feel like they're the number one ranked FIFA team. But the thing that is different this time around is that there's no dominant Spanish or German side.
Yeah, but Netherlands are resurgent.
Netherlands are back. We haven't seen them in a while, so
Italy
that'd be interesting.
Is back.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They need to play some tough teams. So Mancini, for example, had a very, very logical statement where he said that, listen, why don't you allow us two friendly games before Euro starts? So somewhere between like Feb and April, give us a week where we play a team like England, where we play a team like France or whatever.
Right.
Because even in our qualifying, we haven't come up with tough fixtures.
Right.
So we want the ideal warm-up would be for this Italian team and this Italian setup to play against tough teams.
That makes sense. But be careful what you ask for from UEFA because then they'll just make another UEFA Nations League on the side.
No, they won't, right? Because not here. I mean, as long as Italy gets to play like two tough teams before Euro, if it's a competitive match or a friendly, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because that'll actually firstly show us what Italy is actually capable of.
Right.
And it'll also just give them some amount of confidence because fine, 10, 11 games win streak, but against okay-ish teams is great.
Yeah.
You get
that
amount of confidence, but then you play a tough team in your actual competitive match and then
it just got out
so that'll be interesting to see. So that about wraps up everything here. The only thing that we haven't spoken about which I wanted to touch upon was Carlo Ancelotti. So he's himself now put his team on a retreat.
Ouch.
He says he never resigns. That's not his character.
He's doing a botch.
I guess. I don't know, man. But the team's not doing as well as it's supposed to be doing. I think they haven't gotten a win in the last 5 games or 6 games or something. Whoa. They ended up drawing Liverpool, which is a good game, but that doesn't count for anything. So that team needs to buckle up. De Laurentiis has gone crazy. He's like, I'm literally selling the entire squad next window, whatever. So he's doing his typical Italian melodrama. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It just ties into this whole managerial situation right now. There are just so many pieces that can come together, and literally in a month, the whole outlook can look different, barring Liverpool and City, right?
Right.
So it'll be pretty interesting to see what that comes out to be. I'm super excited about the Monday episode because hopefully, not to be a douchebag, but like hopefully there'll be just so many things to talk about by the end of it and not just football.
Right.
So stay tuned for that episode, guys. Comes out next Monday. And again, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchamedia.com. Until next week, bye-bye.
Yeah.